This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Will Hill in studio here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. As always, if you'd like to watch us, you can watch VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app as well. And you can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158 as we are in your ear 24/7. And to kick off hour number two here during this 8 o'clock Eastern hour, 5 o'clock West Coast time, we bring in our next guest, our good buddy, our VSiN teammate, the one and only Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show. Get it wherever you get your podcast, and he's on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, we know you got some bets. We'll get to the bets, your live sweats, etc. But I did have to ask you, did the trade deadline make you change how you feel about any of these teams from a futures perspective now that all the dust has settled?
Feel a little bit worse about the Brewers because I really thought that they needed a bat and they just did not go out there and get it. I like the fact that they get Dustin May. We're going to be seeing him in action on Thursday, and the pitching is going to be superb, but you really don't have that one guy that strikes fear in that lineup. Jake Bowers is right now your leader in homers, so that I thought was interesting. I don't know what to make out of the Blue Jays, obviously a team that I'm not going to be betting in the futures market, but yeah. Trade for Jose Soriano. That was very interesting, to say the least. And obviously for the LA Angels, if you were betting on them in the futures market, you're going the wrong way down a one-way street, unless if it's like most losses in the league. So there's that aspect of things. But additionally, I love the fact that the Red Sox went for it as well. Obviously, they've been the hottest team in all of baseball over the last 45 or so days. They pick up Adley Rutschman. They pick up a few bats. Very unfortunate what happened with Curtis Meade getting injured right after they traded for him. But nothing they could do about that. I do feel like the Red Sox really did get it right at the trade deadline.
What about what the Cubs did, Greg? Good defense, good offense. The pitching was the issue, but they certainly made some additions. Gausman, Clay Holmes, guys that can keep the ball on the ground, maybe play into that defense. They get Braxton Garrett, nice little lottery ticket. Maybe use him out of the bullpen. The reliever from the Angels, do you upgrade the Cubs here last quarter of the season?
I think it's a little bit of a mid-risk, high-reward is how I'm going to put it. Because for Kevin Gausman, he just isn't the same pitcher that he was. Let's call it what it is. It's been a rough go of it for him. I do think that the change of scenery is going to do him some good. I'm very interested to see what happens with Clay Holmes. Because since he became a starter for the New York Mets, because for the longest time he was coming out of the bullpen of the Yankees, he's been a little bit of a lower strikeout guy, but to your point, he does a good job in terms of not giving up a lot of home runs, even though he pitches to a lot of contact. We have not seen him in quite a while because he was on the injured list. He was making a few minor league rehab starts. That's one where, for Clay Holmes, I think that he's either going to flop or he's going to be absolutely tremendous. I lean on the side of him being very solid for the Cubs, and I do think that the Cubs might have a little bit of life once again in the NL Central because, again, would have loved to have seen the Brewers add a bat or two.
Speaking of adding bats, how about Willy Abreu for the Boston Red Sox with a solo shot to make it 2-0 Boston over the Chicago White Sox in the bottom of the third. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Abebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, our VSiN teammate on Twitter at GUnit_81. I have to ask you the question because obviously you're a Milwaukee's Brewer fan. You're a Wisconsin native. You said you were disappointed they didn't get a bat. They also didn't get Tarek Skubal. He is now on the Dodgers, and it has a lot of people asking the question, Dodgers or the field? So I will ask it to you, Greg, from a betting perspective, you want the Dodgers or do you want the rest of the field?
Now, we are seeing the Dodgers currently coming off of a sweep against the Cubs. I still like the Dodgers, though. Like, they are going to be getting healthier as the season goes along. You're going to be getting back Blake Snell relatively soon. We'll see if Shohei Ohtani takes a mound once again this season. He's dealing with that leg injury, but I mean, even with that, for the LA Dodgers, I do think that they are just a Death Star. I think that Kyle Tucker is going to be figuring it out a little bit more. It's really, really hard to go against this team. Every team in baseball goes through a few losing streaks. We saw what happened when they got in the postseason, both last year and 2 years ago. I think you got to go Dodgers over the field, in my opinion.
All right, how about the games tonight? Brian Wu, a -145 or so favorite at home. He's been really good at home. Tigers have played well despite the fact they trade off Skubal, they trade off Casey Mize. Do you have a thought here? Mariners -145, total 7.5.
Yep, I took the 8 to the under. I can't quite get there with the 7.5. But to your point about Brian Wu, my goodness, 671 road ERA, 220 ERA at home. He's doing for a lot of positivity. The overall ERA is right around about a 457. Fielding dependent more than neighbor of a 320. So I did land on the money line here of the Seattle Mariners. For the Tigers, it's going to be sort of a mix and match game as they're going to be having Drew Anderson as the opener. I'm anticipating Ty Madden, no relation to John, who's going to be coming out of the bullpen. And he's been solid. Like, he's been able to give you a sub-250 ERA. He does get a few strikeouts for the Tigers. The offense has been a little bit better recently. They've also been a top-10 team in terms of bullpen ERA since June 1st. But keep in mind, that's looking a little bit different right now. And now, with trading away Casey Mize, with trading away Tarik Skubal, that is going to be a very spent bullpen, to say the least. Do think that the Mariners at home get the job done. Like the money line, took the overnight total to the under. Now that we're down to 7.5, a little bit of a point of no return for me.
Let's go Soto Mojo, Greg. I'm on the Mariners first five, so let's do it early. Let's do it late as well with the Seattle Mariners. You mentioned Casey Mize. He goes from Detroit to San Diego. Padres are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks. Mize making his Padres debut, going up against Mitch Bratt. Mize is a minus 128 favorite. Bratt plus 120, total at 8.5. How are you attacking that game in the NL West?
Yeah, I have absolutely no faith in Mitch Bratt whatsoever. Recognize he's given up 3 earned runs for fewer than 4 of his 5 starts. 5.23 ERA, and he's giving up more walks than he's getting strikeouts. So that's not a place where you want to be. I'm in on the Padres on the money line for Casey Mize. 2.58 fielding dependent, 2.70 ERA. Keeping the ball in the yard, giving up a half home run per 9 innings. I took the overnight to the under. Once again, we went from actually in a lot of cases 9.5 down to 8.5. So I would say that that's a little bit too big of a move. But I also do like the way that the Padres are hitting as well. Low key, since the All-Star break, Padres have been a top 6 team in terms of run creation. They average fewer than 4 runs per game at home, closer to 4.6 runs per game away from home. That should make a lot of sense because Petco is one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in all of baseball. Can't quite take it now to the under just because it's moved a little bit too much, but I still think that we've got some good value here on the Padres on the money line.
Greg, it looks like the tarp is coming off here in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Yankees a big favorite over Andre Pallante and the Cardinals. Weather's, I believe, going here for the Yanks. Did you have a thought here with this game not underway yet, either side or total Yankees and Cardinals?
Yep, I did take a shot on the Cardinals on the money line. And with this one, I did take a shot on the under as well because Jordan Walker is dealing with an injury for the Cardinals. And we saw how disastrous that was for them on Tuesday. And for the Yankees, you just take a look at this team. They're continuing to win games, even though they're scoring no runs whatsoever. In their last 36 games, they're averaging less than 3 2/3 runs per game. But that bullpen, since June 1st, has been second in the league in terms of ERA. They and the Red Sox are very close 1-2. For our guy, he's been a little bit rough in terms of what we've been getting out of Will Warren. He's been giving up about 1.2, 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. But I think that he's going to be able to tame a Cardinals lineup in which they moved a piece or two at the deadline. No longer do you have Lars Nootbaar. Recognize that the Cardinals have been much better with their offense when they've been away from home, but in on the Yankees on the money line here.
Greg, before we let you go, just wanted to ask, do you have anything, a little appetizer? You don't have to give us the full entree, a little appetizer for tomorrow's card, especially those day baseball games that we will have going up on a Thursday.
Fade Ryan Johnson. Like, it's that simple. Ryan Johnson has been absolutely terrible here for the LA Angels. 7.63 ERA, 2.3 home runs, 3.9 walks allowed per 9 innings. And to add injury to insult, going into the game tonight for the LA Angels, they have scored 41 runs in 16 games since the All-Star break. Keep in mind, 14 of those games were before they sold at the trade deadline Joe Adell and a few others. They had to DFA the guy in Ori Soler as well. It's just all sorts of brutal right now for the LA Angels. There's just no faith that you can have in them whatsoever. So that was one that certainly made my card. And then I'm going to be looking at the over in terms of Pirates versus Brewers on Thursday. I took the over here tonight as well. But when it comes to this one, I do think that you're going to be able to get some good offense against a guy in Braxton Ashcraft that has now given up 4+ runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts. It's a Pirates team that is in the bottom 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. Dustin May, he should be getting some positivity going to Milwaukee if you look at the fielding independent, but Pirates are still a top 5 team in terms of run creation. So I do like that over out there in Milwaukee. And again, fading the Angels is a gift that keeps on giving.
By the way, it's Will Warren going for the Yankees. I misspoke, not Weathers. Last minute or so, Greg, I had a few people say, hey, bet Texas Tech in college basketball to win it all 50-1. this new rule that maybe the guys from 2022 can be eligible? Again, in the last minute and a half here, did that trigger anything? Does that help anyone here, that ruling we saw on Friday?
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jackson Kaler, because if he's able to go back to Michigan State, oh boy, you are really, really looking at something. Like, that's a team that I think if that actually happens, that's going to be massive. We're waiting on Donovan Dent, because as of right now, you had to enter into the transfer portal in order for you to be eligible with that fifth year. And there's a lot of rumors that he might be going to Gonzaga if that does go through. Mm-hmm. He did not enter the portal because he was actually retired, became unretired. So that's something that I'm going to be taking a look at as well. And keep an eye on the Fighting Illini of Illinois, David Mirkovich. He underwent surgery a few days ago. If it's not serious, you might be able to get some value right now in Illinois. If it's serious, you probably don't want to be betting Illinois futures.
I mean, we got 2022 eligibility, portal, retired, unretired. Welcome to College Sports in 2026. He is Greg Peterson, our VSiN teammate, host of the Baseball Betting Show. Make sure you check out all of his work over on VSiN.com for the daily best bets throughout Major League Baseball. He's on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, stay hydrated with the runs, and we will talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Always appreciate it. Nothing like good, clean family fun in college basketball. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, man, that's what it is. That is Greg Peterson joining us via the Progressive guest line. So the Red Sox are up 2-0. By the way, Skeens with another solid inning out there in the second. So scoreless still after two as we're in the top of the third for our VSiN primetime game of the night. We'll get you caught up on that. We'll also discuss a little college football when we return here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime on a Wednesday night. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe. Thank you to Greg Peterson, our VSiN teammate, who joined us in the last segment, giving us his plays for tonight in Major League Baseball. Greg's cooking, man. I saw some of the stuff that he had on VSiN.com. Like that. The Braves, he liked them quite a bit. They're up 4-0 in the top of the fourth against the Fish. The Miami Marlins, who have cooled off a little bit after their great play last week. But, yeah, Greg's he's looking pretty solid here. He's on the Red Sox as well. They're up 2-0.
They never lose.
Top of the fourth. Apparently, I might just wear egg on my face at the end of this season. But you know what? Damn it, I'm comfortable in that fact. Like, I don't buy it. They can make the playoffs. They can make the ALCS. They're not winning the World Series. That's been my stance. They're not winning the World Series. Like, do they make the World Series? Okay. Great. Here's the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Brewers. They'll likely beat them. I would be stunned if the Red Sox won the World Series.
Just swept the Dodgers, though.
I know.
I'm with, look, yeah. Baseball, yeah, short series.
World Series wasn't last weekend.
I know. Look, I'm generally with you. When I talked about it when they were like 25-1 to win the O's. You know what? That's probably a good bet.
Yeah.
The numbers have come down.
Yeah, I mean, at this
pitching,
point.
They got Crochet coming back. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Yankees, Red Sox, best of three again. That would be fun. Who has home field? You don't talk a lot about home field and baseball mattering, but that's one where, man, if I'm the Yankees, I really don't want to go to Fenway. If I'm the Red Sox, I probably don't want to go to Yankee Stadium. But, hey, sign me up for three of those, the best of three, early fall, Yankees, Red Sox. That would be a fun one.
As a Yankee fan, what is your, let's say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence level of these guys returning? So Aaron Judge is the big one, and it sounds like Aaron Judge is going to start doing some light workouts, according to the manager, Aaron Boone. Scale of 1 to 10 for Aaron Judge returning, where are you at? 10 being that like he's like a lock to return, 1 being that this is all just like hocus pocus, smoke and mirrors, and he's probably not coming back.
6, I think.
A 6?
Yeah.
So you err on the side of likely to return, but like not super confident.
A little more than a coin flip, just because of when he got hurt. It was, I forget the exact timeline, but it was basically, a couple months, he'll be re-imaged. It didn't sound like a season-ending injury.
No. Not the initial reporting.
I mean, they lie about it. I mean, teams lie about injuries all the time, so it's possible. But I'd say, 60-40 comes back. But it's tough because you want him back as soon as possible, but you can't risk re-injuring him because if he re-injures it, he's done. The timeline, forget it. There's just not enough time. So, I mean, would you sign for – I think you'd sign for anything before the playoffs with the Yankees. September 15th, if we can get him back and he's healthy, you take that.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if you had to answer your own question, what would your answer be?
I mean, I'm like at a five. I truly think it's still 50-50, yeah, kind of where I'm at. And like, this is the exact wording. This is for, is it Hoke? How do you say it? Brian's last name? Is it,
yeah,
Brian Hoke, who covers the New York Yankees. This is a tweet from earlier this afternoon. He says, Aaron Judge underwent scans and has been cleared for light activity, including outdoor running and upper body resistance. That is from Yankees manager Aaron Boone. Yeah, I'm at a five. I flip a coin. Will he? Won't he? That's kind of where I'm at with Aaron Judge. Cody Bellinger, though, I'm assuming you're a lot higher than that. Like, Bellinger has, like, the hamstring. They said 4 to 6 weeks. That was a few weeks ago when he got hurt. Where are you at with it? Like, you're like, what, like an eight or?
Yeah, seven, eight, something like that. I want to read this tweet, though, because Brian Hoke tweeted, Giancarlo Stanton took some swings versus Carlos Rodon in live BP, and he said, G's been hitting a ton already, but it's good to see him outdoors and moving, Aaron Boone said. And then John O'Connell, who makes appearances on The Ringer, said, he's outdoor and moving. Is this the scouting report for an MLB player or the report from a nursing home about your grandfather? I mean, it's so true. He's outdoor and moving. We haven't seen
He's moving.
He hurt.
I'm glad the athlete is moving.
I mean, he got hurt 4 months ago. It's like a calf or a hamstring?
Crazy. Calf injuries, we know they lead to the Achilles. I know. You know, we don't want to pop Achilles, especially, I mean, Stanton at his age. I mean, if he has an Achilles, he's never coming back. But it doesn't sound promising on Giancarlo Stanton. I'm probably like at a four with him. Like, because he was hurt so long ago, you think he should be able to get back, but this is also a guy, when he's rounding third, it looks like if he were to fall, he wouldn't get up. And like, that's not even throwing shit. I'm just saying, like he's an older player, he's a big guy, like he doesn't move around very easy, so like these lower body injuries probably take him more time to recover than like a 28-year-old player in his prime.
And it's not like he's built like Cecil Fielder. I mean, he used to be like a middle linebacker.
Yeah, it's like an action figure.
Now he's like a free safety. He looks like such a perfect physical specimen, and he just has all the injuries. Now, when he plays, especially in the playoffs, he's been a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Monster postseason performer.
You want him up to bat.
Absolutely. He's been better. He's been what, you know, you'd hope Judge would be, but he misses a lot of games.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, if we do get, like, let's say the Rays hang on, they win the American League East, and we get Yankees, Red Sox in the wild card series. It's been done before. Yankees were able to advance and all that. How would you feel as a Yankee fan going into that? You're scared?
Of course. You're scared of anybody in a best of three. I mean, you could lose to the A's in a best of three.
I guess in theory,
With Judge, I'd pick the Yankees. With no Judge, I'd pick the Red Sox. I think it's as simple as that. If you have home field and you have no Judge, I mean, Yankees still have a chance. Again, you're pitching Schlittler.
Yeah.
Who's regressed a little bit? Where you're pitching Schlittler, you're pitching Cole, Freed, Cole, Schlittler. I mean, that's pretty good. But again, there's a lot of variables there. Is Crochet back? Is Judge back? Without those questions, it's kind of hard to know. But I feel comfortable simplifying it. If Judge is back, I'd probably feel comfortable picking the Yankees. If he wasn't, I'd probably pick the Red Sox.
I was going to say, too, like, even like with Schlittler, even though he's a younger guy, we saw him last year, like, in the big spot, and it's okay, like, this dude showed up. Like, you can trust him in those moments. Garrett Cole, obviously, you can trust him. I mean, like, I don't know, sometimes early on in his career, you were wondering, but, like, I think he's proven enough to this point where he'd trust him in a big spot, and Max Fried as well. So, like, the pitching staff you feel good about, it's just like, what are they going to get from this lineup, you know? I don't have any interest in betting the Yankees from a long-term perspective, just because, like, there's so many questions with the heart of the lineup that you just don't want to be, because like, they're the second shot to win the World Series. I get somebody has to be, and they're likely to be from the American League since the Dodgers have so much of the win probability. But man, I would be looking elsewhere. You know, like, I'm not necessarily advocating for the Red Sox, but I mean, to me, Tampa.
I know you love Tampa.
Tampa would be the team that
I'll give you the team I'd bet right now in the if I had to take a shot on anyone in the American League, I think they're 35-1.
Oh, boy.
If Baltimore got in, Baltimore's got some talent. I know. Wow. I know. I just think it's a league where you take a shot on a longer number, because I don't trust the teams at the top. We're talking about when the Mariners were there, and maybe.
People still feel the Mariners.
I can't get there. I get it.
I never was in this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been tough.
I don't want Texas, Tampa. No. Okay, you like them. I wouldn't be shocked at Tampa won. I don't know that I love the number.
What about Houston?
What's that pitching look like in a playoff series? It's Hunter Brown, then who? Blanco, and it's...
Yeah, I don't trust Ronel Blanco.
It's not enough for me. It's not enough for me.
It's like the lineup's insane. Yordan's ridiculous with what he's doing, but the pitching staff is not going to put fear in anyone's heart, I don't think. But they got something going. They got to give them their credit. They do feel like they have something rolling, this Astros team. It's been kind of under the radar, not as much anymore that Yordan Alvarez is likely to be your American League MVP, but slow but steady. I feel like kind of how their season has gone. They've just been going about their business pretty quietly in the AL West, which has been nothing to really write home about.
By the way, Skeen's pitching well. Three innings, three shutout innings. I don't think Milwaukee has a hit. So, I mean, so much for, you know, he's hurt, you know, put him on the shelf.
Do we get the lineup?
He's bounced back, so who knows? Again, it's only three innings, and he had one of these starts, I think, a couple Saturday nights ago against the Cubs, where first four or five innings shutout, and then all hell broke loose. But I haven't seen too much, like, the radar gun, how hard he's throwing, but at least an encouraging sign if you're Pittsburgh that Skeens is maybe this and I think it's too big of a sample to say, you know, it's just one or two bad starts because it was more than one or two bad starts, but maybe Skeens is working his way out of this.
We'll see. I mean, they need him to, but it's, of course, it's fitting that the bats have gone quiet now that Skeens is pitching well. Like, it's like we can't, like, what is it, like, in Friday with Smokey's, is like, we always got ham, no burger, you know, you got Kool-Aid, no sugar. like that's the Pittsburgh
Never
Pirates.
Got two things that go together.
Never got them to go together, man. Like, we can't hit well when Skeens is pitching well. We just, now we're going to go out there and be ice cold with the bats. But, yeah, apparently that's going to be the case with the Bucco. Skeens, please, just carry, worst case, we push, carry me for five innings, and it's scoreless. But I'm hoping Pittsburgh can come through at some point, and we can cash this plus money ticket. I want to stay with this MLB futures talk because the big mover, and not necessarily like a big mover, but definitely a mover in the market, the Chicago Cubs, they're now 15-1 over at DraftKings. I think this last 3 days, national TV game last night, they beat the Dodgers. Early this morning, national TV game again. They beat the Dodgers again. They sweep the Dodgers, for that matter. They make the moves at the deadline. Feels like people are in, man. Like,
I believe I
was texting with our buddy Jay Kassan, who we have here on VSiN Primetime on Wednesdays. I was texting with him last night. I said, man, the Cubs have the look. Like, they just have the look of, like, that kind of team that can maybe upset the apple cart.
What a name drop by you, by the way.
It's our buddy.
Casually just texting with Jake. I'm with you. I think those pitchers fit with the lineup, with the defense, where, you know, Holmes keeps the ball on the ground. Gausman doesn't walk people, keeps in the ballpark. I think Garrett is an underrated pickup. The relief from the, I think all of those guys now, unless he catch Milwaukee, you know what? It's not like they're 20, it's not like they're 10, 15 games back. I mean, they're, what, five games out? It's, we see these teams get hot and go on runs, and they've gone on plenty of runs, so it's not impossible. That's interesting. What's their division price? Because,
That's the one that could be fun.
Now, that, like, best two out of three is so dicey because you can just be gone in 24 hours, or you can win the two games, and it's like you worry about this best two out of three, and you win the two games, and you never even think about it again, and you're on to the next round, and you go into that next series hot. But to me, Chicago is certainly a team that has a little bit of value.
So the Cubs are plus 320 to win the NL Central. Brewers now minus 500. I believe they have like a four-game series either later this month or early in September. That'll obviously shift things dramatically either way. Thinking, of course, just split it. Right. But that will be a massive one in the NL Central race. We'll get to some college football when we return here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Guide is here, and it's perfect. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get instant access to our college football betting guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. Plus, this is like the add-ons that we're going to give you guys here. You're going to get the NFL betting guide. You're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football guide. You're going to get the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Man, we talk about plus EV. I mean, that's plus EV in a nutshell right there. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Befe, Will Hill here with you guys on this Wednesday night, taking in some Major League Baseball. The Pirates cannot hit. But, hey, our VSiN Primetime game of night still scoreless. Hopefully Paul Skeens can carry the day for yours truly here. Will is on the over in that game. We're hoping the Pirates runs are the ones that get it going. But if it's scoreless after five, let's get the runs rolling afterwards, because then my bet will then be settled. I guess is how I think about that. Selfish, whatever. That's who I am. College football, though. We were just talking about the college football betting guide. It is jam-packed with awesome stuff, like I mentioned. Make sure you go ahead and get it at VSiN.com/subscribe. But I was going through the guide this morning. I'm, like, listening to a bunch of stuff, reading a bunch of stuff. I am fired up for college football. Now, like I said it's at the top of the show, NFL, I was there once we got to training camp. College football, because we don't really like have like a back together weekend, like how the NFL is like now branded that somehow. But like we don't really have that like marquee event outside of the media days, to where once the media days have come and gone, now I'm like, okay, I'm ready for college football season. And my big thing, and spoiler alert, there's a lot of great stuff in the guide, but I will just say this one thing. Of the 22 experts in our VSiN college football betting guide, 22 people, by the way, only one person picked Ohio State to win the national title. One person. Like, that's alarming to me. And I put my hand up because I did not pick Ohio State to win the national title. I took Oregon. They're 8-1 over at DraftKings. Ohio State is the favorite at plus 600, and one person picked them to win the national. And I understand everyone that's a part of the guide, we're all bettors. We all think like, you know, like, oh, can we find the value? Can we, like, I don't want to be chalky and all that stuff. So maybe a little bit of that like led to it a little, but it's still surprising because it's not like Ohio State is some just like good program. Like, they're one of the, they are the world famous Ohio State Buckeyes, as according to Gus Johnson. One person, Will, took them to win it all.
Does that trigger a bet for you, or do you just find it notable?
I think it triggers a bet for me.
What is over, or
Ohio State to win the national title?
Okay,
I'm there, man. Like, and this is not just because everyone was like kind of pushing them off to the side. It's a little bit because of that, but like, one, Ohio State checks all the boxes. Like, they have a coach that's been there, done that. He's used to coaching in the playoff. I know, like, last year obviously didn't go well. The Miami game was poor, etc. But they have a quarterback who's really efficient. Julian Sain, by the way, folks, was second in the country in QBR last season. Like, he's not even the Heisman favorite. You would think he would be.
Right.
On a really good team, second in the nation in QBR. Like, Marcus Mariota fit that profile out of 2013 going into 2014. He was the Heisman favorite. He won the Heisman Trophy. Not saying that that's how it's going to happen for Julian Sain, but I'm just saying it's a really good setup, and people are kind of like, oh, yeah, we're not sure. The numbers say we should be sure about Julian Sain. But then also, too, offensively, they're going to be a monster. I know defensively, they take a little bit of a step back. Downs, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese, those guys are all in the NFL. They're all short shots to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I understand. But you bring back Sain. You bring back Jeremiah Smith. Arthur Smith now at offensive coordinator. I like the coaching staff. I like the talent. I think the defense grows throughout the season. At price, because you can get it at Circa, at plus 725. For Ohio State to win the title. That to me feels like a great ticket to have in my pocket because I think they're going to beat Texas week two, and that plus 725 will not be available for the foreseeable future.
Do you think it's the loss to Miami? Do you think it's the schedule? Do you think it's just the fact that, like you said, it's bettors filling this out, and we look for, we kind of be contrarian. It's like filling out the NCAA tournament bracket. Yeah. It's like nobody wants to pick. You know, the one overall seed, that's not fun. That's not sexy.
Well, a lot of people took Arizona.
Well, there you go. What do you think is it that people are off of Ohio State?
I mean, I think it's a combination of things. It's like, yes, bad taste in the mouth from the last time we saw them against Miami. Two, I think it's they're like the short shot at a lot of sports books. They're the favorites. I don't think a lot of people want to take the favorites. And then I think a lot of it is just, like, you have to give credit to the Notre Dames, the Oregons. Like, they're really talented. I we have the graphic ready. Like, these are my predictions from the guide. Like, once again, like, we encourage everyone to check out the guide. I'm not giving away too much here. I'm just giving my thoughts when I filled this out about a few weeks ago when we had these due for the VSiN college football betting guide. But I took Oregon to win the national title because I looked at it. I said, hey, Oregon checks all the boxes. They have a really good quarterback. They have a head coach who hasn't done it yet, but at least has made the playoffs multiple times. The trenches, they're ridiculously good. Their defensive line is outstanding. Like, they look like a national title winning team. But to steal the phrase from our guy, Michael Lombardi, you know, who always quotes Bill Walsh.
You're all thinking the same.
If we're all thinking alike, is anyone really thinking? And it feels like we're all thinking alike on this Notre Dame-Oregon thing, to where I just think that we're just being a little bit too dismissive of the team that was rated the number one team in the country by the coaches this week. Only one person took them to win the national title. So my picks, by the way, I had Oregon win the national title. I do have Ohio State in my final four in the semifinal. I have Miami, Texas, Ohio State, and Oregon. Obviously, I would revise that Texas pick as I kind of cooled on the Longhorns as of late. But I think that this Ohio State thing is, we're going to look up in late November and be like, well, duh, it was probably just Ohio State the whole time, and we're all trying to outthink the room.
Oregon, obviously, you know, the quarterback could have been the second pick in the draft. All the defensive linemen coming back. Mm-hmm. Georgia loaded. I think back to being a Georgia type of defense and a schedule that's manageable. So there's just a lot of worthy competitors. I don't think it's one of those years where, you know, it's wide open to an extent, but I think it's wide open. And tell me if you disagree. It's wide open in terms of, I don't know, the 7 or 8 teams that are at the top. I put Miami there. I put Georgia, Ohio State. I don't know if it's one of those years like last year where Indiana comes out of nowhere. And you never think the team's coming out of nowhere. That's why they come out of nowhere. But yeah. I think it's more like 6, 8 teams that can win it, and those teams are a cut above the second tier. Would you agree, disagree with any of that?
Yeah, kind of. It feels almost, I guess maybe this might not be the perfect analogy, but almost a little bit like the NBA, where it's just like, okay, like, yeah, you got about like 8 teams that can win the title. Yes. You know? Like, that's how, because, I mean, shoot, 10 years ago, it was like, oh, we got 3. You know, in college football, which is funny. It was like your Alabamas, your Clemsons, and like Georgia. Like, it's like, yeah, 4-team playoff. Here's the 3 teams that can win going into the year. And everyone else, you're playing to make the playoff or to win your conference or whatever, like something like that. But now in college football, given the current landscape, it feels like it is a little more wide open to where it's no longer 3. Now it's 8. But it's still a pretty exclusive club with the 8. Like, I'm not really looking to go long shot hunting, even though a long shot won last year. In Indiana, the cat's out the bag. I mean, look at the Indiana this year. They're now 8-1 to win the national title. Yeah. You know, like no one's sleeping. We spoke with Matt Grill a couple of weeks ago, and we said, like, hey, like, how do you power rate teams like Indiana? Like, has Indiana shown you through these last 2 years that they deserve to have a seat at the big boy table? And he's essentially like, yeah. Like, you know, like, we have to now, like, upgrade them, like, just as a program, no longer as just like, oh, like, this team's really good going into this year. It's like, no, like, we can now have blind faith in this program to be rated highly heading into any given season.
I think the thing you're going to hear a lot and say a lot, afraid to fade Cignetti.
Yeah.
Is it possible, +275 to miss the playoffs, so we could pull up the schedule here?
Ooh.
I think in a second. I believe they're +38 in turnovers the last 2 years combined. Hoover can be very daring with the ball. Mm-hmm. Is it possible here they're like a 3-loss team? And again, we'll pull up the schedule in a second, I think, and we can maybe – carried over the next break.
I will get the schedule here right now.
Because while you look, to me, Penn State, and I guess DraftKings says +425 to make. So a 10-2 Penn State team is very live to make it. And you know what? If somebody goes in, that means somebody comes out.
So
go ahead.
So here's the schedule for Indiana. So home against North Texas, home against Howard, home against Western Kentucky, home against Northwestern. That should be 4-0. At Rutgers, at Nebraska, and then here comes the meat of it. So it's home Ohio State October 17th. Then it's at Michigan October 24th. Home against Minnesota October 31st, Halloween. Have a bye week. Home against USC. At Washington. And then you close home against Purdue. The Ohio State game is obviously like that's the marquee game, the rematch of last year's Big Ten title game. They, of course, would need to lose that game. They would need to lose at Michigan. And you probably need to lose one other game. Can you find another loss on that schedule?
I mean, like, a lot of people like Minnesota, but that's probably asking a lot. Asking USC too much. People are high. I mean,
USC having to go to the Eastern time zone. I mean, it's
I'm
a Washington fan. I love Damon Williams. Like, I think it can be an exciting team. I don't think they could win that game. Although, like, Indiana having to go to Seattle late November. Husky Stadium is a raucous environment. Like, that's not a familiar place for the Hoosiers to go. So maybe things get weird, especially before a rivalry game. But
it just felt like they won every moment, like every 50-50 game, 50-50 moment. Penn State on the road. I don't know. Maybe they're just due to take a step back. But again, fading Cignetti, fade him at your own risk.
I will say, with that non-conference schedule, though, if they do find that third loss, I don't think they're making the playoff.
I agree.
You're not getting it. Like, oh, what'd you do when you're at large? North Texas? All right, see you later. We'll be back with more VSiN Primetime when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Preseason football starts this week. Time to book your trip to Vegas like our guy Will Hill. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submission so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. Well, the good vibes were rolling along here on VSiN Primetime until the Milwaukee Brewers opened up the floodgates. While we were in the break, Brewers have plated three runs here in the bottom of the fourth, and they might not be done as they have finally gotten to Paul Skeens, who through three innings, well, looked kind of like Paul Skeens. Since then, in the fourth, looking like the guy we've seen the last couple starts.
Yeah, and I mentioned he had this a couple starts ago against the Cubs where he was scoreless, I think, four innings shutout baseball. And then the fifth and maybe the sixth were the blow-up innings. I have to go back and look. But same sort of pass, same sort of trajectory as this start. Right? All right, looks maybe he's back, maybe he's back. Two scoreless innings, a third scoreless inning, and three no-hit innings too. But a big inning here, and just, man, he's just – just keep using the same same phrase. He's not himself. He's ordinary right now. He's just an ordinary pitcher. And, I mean, you see the velocity. I mean, that one's 97. The one before was 96. I mean, you can win throwing 96, 97, but there's a big difference when you're 98, 99, 100, and yet you see all those stats, Femi, about number of pitches per game where he's 98-plus. Mm-hmm. And throughout his career, 38, 34, 40, and the last four or five starts, zero, zero. Zero. He's just not touching 98, and it sounds like not a big difference, but the difference between 99 and 96, there's a difference between, you know, fouling off and swing and miss and things like that as he walks the batter here. So two on, one out, three runs already in as the Brewers lead 3-0 here over Skeens and the Pirates.
He's already up to 81 pitches through 3 1/3.
That's good. He's almost done, and this might be his last inning.
Like this could be it, man. Especially if Pratt can get a base knock here, and all of a sudden bring in at least one more. This might be it. 32 pitches,
inning. Jeez.
17 of which have been balls.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like I don't know. You can't locate the zone or what's happening, but right now it's off the board. Last check though, Milwaukee was -2200. For those of you that want to bet the money line, you can get the Pirates at +1180. Now. It is early. Like a three-run lead is not, like, insurmountable. So, like, it's a yes, we can kind of laugh at the pricing of that. We've seen some wild prices be able to come home or at least get interesting when live betting baseball throughout this summer. But, it's just kind of just like, and like, that. Okay, at least is he able to get out of that? Can they turn two? Can Skeens get there? He did. All right, so they're out of the inning. So that, I guess, +1180 is now +920 if you want to back the Buccos. And it's -1440 for Milwaukee. Total is at 6.5. So at least for the total, you have life with your over 7.5. Pirates better do something in this bottom side or top of the frame, rather, for me to have any some kind of life. But that's where things stand with our VSiN primetime game of the night. I thought this would be the nice bounce back for Skeens. It does not appear to be so out there at Miller Park.
Tough time of year to bet baseball, too, because
it's pretty rough.
You know, you get the trade deadline, people are out of the routines, and then you get, or I should say the All-Star break, people are out of the routines. Then you get the trade deadline. Some of these teams, I mean, take your numbers and throw them out the window. They have a whole new bullpen. The Angels have a whole new bullpen. The Mets have a whole new bullpen. You get a lot of moving pieces where it's just, if you have models, if you have ways to price this stuff, man, it's really hard with all the player movement, especially this week and in these last couple of days.
Yeah, it's like, we made all these trades, but these guys are not going to join us until we get to this next city.
Right.
You know, it's just like, it's tough. You know, everyone's a professional and they go about their business, but it is a lot of change. And guys are, it's like, okay, like, well, like, now where am I going to be living? Like, they can put me up in like this hotel or extended stay or whatever. Like I'm not going to move my family because I don't know where I'm going to be in the wintertime. You know, it's a little bit tricky. And some things as better, so maybe we overlook it. I know I didn't factor that into my thought process in betting tonight's card, but that's one of the reasons why I only had two bets. Just went ahead, tread lightly in what is a lighter card, but not to go a little bit too crazy. But some other scores from around Major League Baseball. Orioles are up 3-2 on the Angels in the eighth. Reds have a 3-2 lead in the eighth against the Athletics. The Mets are up 4-3 on the Guardians in the seventh. Nationals, Phillies tied at 2 in the seventh. Red Sox are up 2-0 on the White Sox in the sixth. The Braves have a 4-1 lead on the Marlins in the sixth, and the Twins are up 1-0 on the Royals. That is in the fifth inning, and we're still scoreless in the Bronx between the Cardinals and the Yankees. Still have some baseball games to get going in about an hour. Tigers, Mariners, and then Padres, Diamondbacks. I am on the Mariners first five. Back in Brian Wu against the Detroit Tigers, and what looks like it will be a bullpen day. This to me is one of those, like, you know what, Mariners, like, show me what you got kind of games. You know, like, if you're worth anything, if you have any life left in you, you show up tonight for Brian Wu, who's been really good at home. Underlying metrics look strong. You do have to pay a little bit of a price, minus 155, minus 150 in that range, but I'm comfortable paying it in this spot. So I'm on the Mariners first five. I know Greg Peterson, who we had on to start off this hour, he is on the Mariners full game on the money line at minus 148. So a lot of Mariner love here on VSiN Primetime. We'll see if they can get it done. First pitch, 9:40 Eastern time over there in Seattle. Same time for the Padres and the Diamondbacks, I should say, where we'll get to see Casey Mize make his debut for the Friars.
Did you have any problem with the Tigers selling, considering how close they were?
I mean, if you're going to trade Schoolbull, just get rid of everything, you know?
Like, you didn't have to trade him, though. You could have kept him. You could have gone for it.
I thought that if, when they got the sweep, or if they were going to sweep the Athletics, I thought they were going to kind of hold steady and say, you know what, let's try to run and like go for it here. Yes, I guess to answer the question, I do have a little bit of a problem, not a massive one, because it feels like they were just like, you know what, we know Schoolbull's leaving in free agency, we just want to get something in return, which I can also understand that thought process. I'm just more so of like a, hey, like you only get so many chances to win a World Series, you know, like go try to make something happen, especially in a pretty wide open, quote unquote, American League. But like, once they decided, let's just get rid of Schoolbull and like get something for him, at that point, trade Mize, sell off whoever you think you can get the prospects, reset the deck, and trudge forward with what will be a new-look CBA coming up in the next year or so.
You completely count them out for making a run, considering they're not that far back. They still got, you know, they didn't trade anyone from their lineup. They got Melton. They still have some pieces. Do you think they can get in the playoffs?
I think they could, because the American League's bad. You know, it's hard for me to count anyone out in that league outside of the teams that are like way out of it,
right?
You know, like the Angels, yeah, I'm counting them out. You know, like, but like if you're within like striking distance, like let's say within 4.5 or 3.5 games, you deserve a seat at the table. You know, like you're in the conversation in this American League, because there's not a whole lot to write home about, and nobody's really running away with this AL wild card race outside of like the East teams, like the Yankees and the Red Sox. But like that last spot, it's up for grabs as far as I'm concerned.
And we saw them 2 years ago. They traded Flaherty to the Dodgers. They might have made another move in terms of selling, and they got red hot. We saw years ago, 2016, the Yankees, they traded Chapman, Andrew Miller. They traded Carlos Beltran. They said, you know what, we're not making the playoffs. Let's sell. And then they got red hot. Now, part of it is they called up Aaron Judge, and not every team has an Aaron Judge to call up. Yeah. And we didn't know he'd be that. But, you know, teams get hot. Even if you sell off pieces, you never know. You're still replacing them with major league players. So we'll see here if the Tigers, who played well the last 4 or 5 days, and you wonder just if you can give them true serum, what was the point? If they were even in the wild card, they're probably not trading. Maybe they were just, you know what, we're going to trade them no matter what because we can't lose them for nothing. But you figure if they're even in the wild card, like were they a game away from, hey, we were a game away from keeping him. We were 2 games away from keeping him because, man, they at the time of the deadline, they're what, 2.5 games out. It's just if they were – you know, they decided to trade him, but it couldn't have been by much.
My thought process is that they were dead set on just trading him regardless what happened.
Possible.
Like, I think they came into this season saying, we are trading Tarek Skubal. Like, likely to happen at the deadline, but we will trade him because we will not be the team that loses. Because, like, you know, like they didn't want to give him the long-term extension and all that stuff. So, like,
I don't know that he wanted to be there either. You know, I get that also could factor in. He didn't really want to be there.
That also probably factors into it. And maybe it was, like, more so like a, like, hey, like, we kind of know what you're thinking. You know what we're thinking here. So, like, let's just kind of, like, let's expedite this process here a little bit and, like, let me go to another team. But I think they kind of came into this year saying that we're going to trade him because we don't want to have happen to us what happened to the Angels with Shohei Ohtani, where it's like, oh, like we're going to hang on to you and like let's see if we can get it. It's like, dude, like you have no shot at re-signing this guy.
Right.
He is gone. Like absolutely gone. And then the Shohei sweepstakes happens. Angels were never in it. And he ends up going to the Dodgers, their crosstown rivals. Rivals, of obviously, in quotes. But, yeah, I think they were dead set on getting Schubel out of town and getting something for him. Did they get enough? I don't think so. But, hey, they at least got something. They didn't end up with Bupkis. Some rival executives told Buster Olney over there at ESPN. But quick programming note, want to let people know, after this break, VSiN Primetime is stepping aside for the Circus Survivor documentary. If you want to keep listening to Primetime, you can catch it on the VSiN Watch app or Sirius XM Channel 158. Otherwise, stick around because the documentary is coming up after the break. You can watch the documentary on YouTube. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, I believe, are already posted on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live on YouTube and you can find them there. But Will and I will be hanging out, talking some National Football League. How should you be betting the preseason? Which teams should you be betting in the preseason? We tackle all the NFL news and notes when we return on VSiN Primetime.